Good afternoon. Well, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted 10 weeks ago, it's, I haven't been here in 10 weeks. This is amazing. So this is a big day for me, just sort of this place of getting back to normal in terms of my own personal life. Maybe that's why I'm going to wax nostalgically a little bit. There's nothing in this book I don't love, but there are several verses that I would consider life verses. One is Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. That was such an important verse for me many years ago when I first started walking with the Lord, and I was suffering from mental illness, from clinical depression and clinical anxiety. And to hear those words, that he's called me to reign in life. Not just one day when I go to heaven. We know that's going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy. But in this fallen world, I could reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. And then, of course, John 10:10, I came that you might have. And when I read that, it's like, I came that you, Chuck, might have life and have it more abundantly. Those were like anchors to my soul. Another one was Colossians 2. Where he says, for in him all the fullness of deity is embodied, and in him you have been made complete. But this is another one from Psalm 73. And this came to me, I had broken through, I had my breakthrough understanding that the abundant Christian life is a person, his name is Jesus. The anointed Christian life, all that's in him. The gospel is Jesus. No more complicated than that. And everything that God has done for us, everything that God has done in us is in a person, Jesus. It's the simplicity of the gospel. But in the process of living life, I remember this, that I fell in love with a girl who had walked with the Lord since she was 5 years old, or 7 years old. She and her twin sister had come to receive Christ at a Bible study on the book of Revelation. I don't know many seven-year-olds who go to Bible studies on the book of Revelation. I don't know many 70-year-olds who do that. And it was sort of a dream come true kind of deal. Unfortunately, after a season, the pressure from her dad, who I love and love to this day, is not alive anymore. He got very concerned about her marrying somebody who was going to be in the ministry. Because I was working for a parachurch organization. So I lived by support. And he got concerned what her lifestyle would be like if she ended up marrying somebody like me. And he put so much pressure on her to make this thing stop working, that eventually it did. And I remember how much that broke my heart, how devastated I was, though I had discovered some years earlier about this amazing victorious Christian life. I didn't feel very victorious. It was in the context of that that God showed me this poem. I don't know if I get who wrote it. It made me part of a hymn, just about brokenness and that God had called us to walk in a place that, and I never crossed my mind that in this world there's tribulation and things can happen. And so I was just sort of spiraling a little bit. But one of the things I remember I kept asking the Lord was, but this person was perfect. So how am I ever going to find anybody like that person? And I couldn't see me meeting another person who got saved at 7 years old at a Bible study on the book of Revelation. And again, that person was like a dream come true. And when that dream was shattered, as I looked at my future, the enemy was really devastating me about, I'm just going to end up by myself, rest of my life, and all those things. And there was a lot of things I still didn't know. I was still young in this walk in the Spirit thing. And Psalm 73 then became like this scripture. I was reading through it one day, and it just jumped off the page and liberated me, exposed wrong thinking, that I couldn't listen to my emotions to dictate what's truth. And Psalm 73 is this amazing scripture about the psalmist being jealous of how so many people in the world seem to be having a good life. And he's become jealous and envious of what their life is like and what he's experiencing. And so the first part of the psalm is all about that. It says in verse 15, but then he began to see life without walking with God and said, if I had said I will speak thus about complaining about everybody else having it good except for those people who are walking with the Lord, behold, I should have betrayed the generations of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the presence of God, and then I saw their end, those who don't know you. Surely their feet are on slippery places, and they're prone and moving towards destruction. How they will be destroyed in a moment and utterly swept away by the terrors of this fallen world. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt not have their presence before you. He says, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant than when he was in the time of complaining. I was like a beast before you, Lord. Nevertheless, I am continually in your presence. You have taken hold of my right hand, and with your counsel you'll guide me. And afterwards, when it's all said and done, I will live forever in your glory. And then these scriptures. I had them, I don't know what you call it, my Bible had a leather cover, and it had it engraved into the outside, not in terms of like gold graving, but just carved in to the outside of the cover of the Bible. Whom have I in heaven but you? Heaven's going to be great. But besides you, I desire nothing on the earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. And I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I might tell of all your works. Now, of course, God can be trusted. Emotions can't be. And the Lord had someone perfect for me. So, because I thought, well, perfect, how do you improve on perfect? But you know, God can improve on perfect. There's perfecter, more perfect. And that wasn't somebody in Birmingham. It was somebody in Selma, Alabama. If that relationship had continued, I'd have never come here. I'd have never met Olivia. I'd have never been part. This church would have never started. There would be no Luke and Woody and all that. But, you know, we can't see all those things, but we have to trust. But what I had to come to conclude was, what's important to me is that whom have I in heaven but you, but besides you, there's nothing I'm going to desire above you. And though my heart and flesh may fail, you'll be the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And this scripture became so powerful to me. Who among you can live with the consuming fire that is his love for you? Who among you, who among us can live with a continual burning? That's like a call to who out there among you will make him the great desire of your life. Can you live? Who among us can live with his consuming fire for us, that nothing will rival him? Who among you are prepared to live with a continual burning? His burning in you, your burning in him, his burning for you, your burning for him. Who can live with that? And I realized that if I would just yield everything to him being my one thing, he would take care of everything else, because nothing can compete with living with the continual burning of his love for me, my love for him, his life in me, my life in him, because the nearness of God, I realized, was my solution. And there were no guarantees of what the future was going to look like. As I read this little poem that I learned, Jesus, on my cross have taken all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be. That's the starting point and the finish line for us all. Everything else in between we can trust God with. But that's the issue of walking out, reigning in life. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.